Okay, so our question this week has to do with how to get our kids to follow directions. They write,
How do we do it?
Yeah. They write, my five-year-old doesn't listen to my directions at all. For example, she doesn't get up in the morning or go to bed when told. I end up shouting, and that's when she listens. But I don't want to resort to yelling.
I hear you.
Yeah.
This is tough.
That's all of us.
And what we know about our five-year-olds is that they're still developing self-regulation, yeah, right?
For sure.
This child is likely not laying in bed thinking about the natural consequences of what's going to happen if I don't get downstairs in time and I miss the bus, yeah, right? They're just thinking,
like, oh, I feel like crap. I don't want to do this day, right?
I mean, this might be how you're feeling.
It is.
But maybe
every
they're like, ooh.
Or they're just cozy.
It's like really cozy in here. And this feels good. And I'm going to really lean into this good feeling because I want more of it.
Right.
Right. Versus getting out of bed. Now I have to do stuff. I'm cold. Maybe I don't want to go to school. Maybe I'm just coming off the weekend.
Yeah.
So there's so much going on for this very young child with a developing brain.
So step one, let's not label it as this kind of defiance, as I know I used to in the past and as a lot of us do. My damn kid's not listening. Instead, recognize that they're human, feeling real things. And one of the best things we can do is get on their team, right? Stop treating them as the problem, but be their teammate, be their partner, helping work against this problem of not being able to, let's say, get out of bed.
Right, because we need to get things done, right? Like, there, we have people we need to see, places we need to go.
They got
to
get up.
Things, yes, this is part of life. We're getting up, we're getting dressed, we're having breakfast, we're getting on the bus. Yeah.
And I think our biggest tip that we can ever offer anyone, if you want your kids to listen, is to connect first. And what that might look like is taking at minimum 30 seconds to a minute, but obviously the more time, the better, to involve yourself in their world before just expecting them to stop on a dime and then involve themselves in yours, right?
Right. So what you're talking about really is this more like connection-based parenting versus fear-based,
right,
which is what, when your child is responding to the yelling,
that's
typically out of fear. Like, oh, crap, what's going to happen now?
They've gone into survival mode.
Right.
It's like, oh, crap, I got to.
Right.
Yeah, that's not where we want them to, why we want them to be listening.
Right. Versus you connecting with them, showing them love. Now they're following the group plan because
they're a part of the team.
They're invested in this family.
Yeah.
They're invested in you and your relationship.
Absolutely. And so something that I try to do most mornings is I will literally climb into bed with each of the kids, except for the oldest. She doesn't need me anymore or want me.
It's because we've been so good at developing her skills.
That's right. But so I'll climb in, though, and immediate morning check-in. Hey, how you feeling this morning? And I'm sitting there. I'm rubbing their back. One of them likes that, like, I lay on top of them, deep pressure. But I'm there connecting with them in their world, asking them what they're feeling and what they're experiencing, what they're excited for the day. And after, again, just a minute or two, it'll be like, okay, well, let's get up and do this thing, and I'll move on to the next kid. And it's not always that it works, but more often than not, they're kind of, it's like hitting like the reset button, and they're just way more likely to follow along.
Right. And it sounds like you've done a lot of work playing detective and figuring out what they need in the morning, because that looks different for each child.
Yeah, it sure does. Man.
And even we're so lucky that, you know, we're typically both here in the morning. So if your strategies aren't working, I'm able to come in and offer a different type of support. Like maybe we didn't pick out clothes the night before and they need help with that. So providing more support when necessary too would be a helpful strategy.
Yeah. And something else we talked about was, you know, breaking down the ask into smaller steps, right? So you might say, okay, it's time to get ready for school. And that
is this, so there's like your big routine,
right?
Which is a topic for another one of these. But you've got your big routine now.
Yeah. So the routines are made up of many steps.
Right.
We don't want to hit them with all the steps at once. Do this routine. Instead, start as small as you can. The very first step, small, manageable chunks, are way more accessible to us versus the big, overwhelming problem.
Right. And we might think to ourselves, well, they know how to do all of those steps.
No.
But think about how overwhelming it is for your child,
or for us,
to be and to sequence all of those.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work, especially when maybe you're not feeling up to doing it. So maybe your emotional temperatures is a little bit high because you don't want to go to school. Yeah. Now those skills that you do have are kind of falling back a bit and you're needing more support,
right,
which is where the breakdown is helpful. Within the breakdown of these tasks, you might be offering choices as well. So like for our youngest child.
Choice city over here.
He loves choices every day. Gotta love it. Just this morning, you said to him something like, do you want to walk to the bathroom or do you want to slingshot?
Swing like Spider-Man.
Yeah. To the bathroom. And he was like, yep, that one.
Yeah. And so what's good about that choice is it incorporated a little bit of play, which anytime you could leverage play, they're going to be way more invested.
Movement.
But like what's great about offering choices is the outcome of each choice is where we need it to be. And one of those choices they'll have control over. Yeah, I can walk on my own feet. Or the other is you then take control and kind of help them to get to that endpoint.
Right.
But toddlers especially, but all kids, all humans really, we love to have a say in things. We love that autonomy. We love the ability to make a choice. And so we're way more likely to kick them into gear, get them to take action if we put a couple choices on the table and allow them to kind of make a decision.
And it might feel effortful up front, like, oh God, now I have to like incorporate play.
Yeah.
But look at how much more quickly the morning routine is going.
It's true.
And he's also practicing these skills. Like, right, he's going through the paces of getting ready to eventually he's going to be like our 11-year-old who doesn't need that support anymore. Yeah. So invest early on so that you don't end up at 11
having battles.
Having to or provide even more intense support
because
early on it wasn't provided.
Yeah.